Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood.
Thank you for joining us again. It's starting to be spring, which is super nice, as opposed to it being freezing cold here in Utah or randomly snowing out of nowhere. So we really, enjoying the nice weather.
Puppies can go outside now.
Took my dog to the dog park today, and he got in the freaking mud water and smells all stinky.
I like that about him.
Yeah, he likes that about himself, too.
Does he ever, when you get baths for him, does he ever, like, immediately go try to dirty himself up?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and he's a lab, too, so labs aren't, like, they don't need a whole bunch of baths because they already have, like, this oil secretion that helps them stay clean.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually not supposed to wash them that often, but usually when he stinks as bad as he does, we usually wash him.
Right.
Yeah, man. UFC Fortaleza this weekend?
It was very good.
It was amazing. Top fight on the card. What do you think?
The best fight was, I don't know. I think probably the Ray Borg fight. That one was very, very good. Just overall, but I thought the whole card was strong. Even the main event kind of looked slow and sluggish.
Really?
Go back and watch it. It kind of looks like heavyweights, but not the good end of the spectrum of the heavyweights. It kind of looks like a slow one, in my opinion. Me and Danny were texting about it, and I thought it seemed very kind of sluggish.
It seemed quick to me, though.
Really?
Yeah.
The combos and stuff, especially the one that he finished with, were really good, but everything kind of just seemed labored.
Oh, I agree with that, but especially after the Hua fight and Deontay fight, they seemed a lot faster than those two. Belfort and Gaston.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Great. I meant the co-main. I kept saying the co-main.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there because I was like, maybe with the co-main, maybe with Hua.
But the Gastelum, actually, I don't know what I was thinking. That looked very crisp. He looked good.
I knew that Belfort was in for it every time Gastelum freaking would throw that right jab and get through. It was like, this isn't going to last long because he can't.
Well, again, me and Danny were texting. He's like, when do you think he's going to knock him out? And I said, I think it's going to be the first. And he's like, yeah. But I did say, if there was an upset watch, I think that this is for sure it, because I don't think that Gastelum should be a 4-1 favorite. I would have still picked him to upset Gastelum. I would have picked Vitor. But
there's one thing that I learned. And there's a reason that those guys are the old generation of fighter. I mean, they just stand and bang. Even at freaking 35, 45 years old, they don't know anything different than to just stand and bang. And I mean, yeah, both of them have great jiu-jitsu and are very rounded. And Hua saw those kicks coming in and he was reading his combos and different things like that. But that's why they're not keeping up, because people know, I mean, obviously it's because they're older and they're slowing down, but people don't just stand in front of each other anymore and bang like that. They can't do it.
I don't think that, did you think that Vitor looked bad at all? Apart from, I mean, defensively, obviously.
He looked old. Yeah.
His offense looked good.
He looked old, but that was about it. And even Hua, man, was throwing combinations better than most of the people nowadays throw combinations. I mean, most of them, all you hear is like, don't just throw one punch. Follow it up with throw a 1-2 kick or throw a 1-2-3 or whatever it is. And he was doing a jab cross body shot, and he was throwing kicks. And he looked slower, but I mean, his form and everything was still super good.
He did lead rights a lot. And I don't know, man. He looked like he was picking his shots. He looked kind of sluggish and labored.
We're going back to Hua. Yeah,
I thought we were talking to Hua.
Sorry, we're jumping all over.
Maybe we should just go chronologically through the fights and talk about everything in the main event. That way we can.
Yeah,
because it's probably we can go
top to bottom.
All right, let's do it.
So Vitor Belfort, Kevin Gastelum, both looked good. That right. Jab of Kelvin, you knew was going to end it for Vitor Belfort. But Vitor Belfort looked quick when he was throwing his combos.
I was impressed with, because he exposed himself. He was reaching for those combos too. He, for being like a wrestler, and then kudos to him, by the way, for the Portuguese at the end too.
It was like half Spanish, half Portuguese.
Yeah. Danny said it was good Portuguese, though. Yeah. I mean, he had good, like, he had decent accent and everything. Because he said a couple times, like, full sentences and stuff. He got his point across. They sang happy birthday to his mom, so. That was pretty awesome. I was impressed with him and the crowd for doing that. I thought it was a good time.
When Kevin Gastelum speaks, you remember why you like him as a person. When he misses weight, you remember why you don't like him as a fighter. And it was interesting because everyone was like, oh, great, here comes the post-fight presser. Or not the presser, the post-fight interview. Where he is going to tell everybody that he's going to make it back down to 170, and then he didn't. And it's like, good. Don't great, that's awesome. But then at 185, like, I'd probably try and drop back down to 172. You got Jacare, Yoel, Luke Rockhold that are all above you to fight Bisbing, and Bisbing's fighting GSP first. You know? So it's like, why not drop back down to 170 where you actually might get a shot at the title?
I think he's
a quick shot of the title.
He will get a title shot. I don't know in what division. He will get one someday. I honestly just think he needs to spend time in a division. I don't really care which one at this point. Again, I think he's a perfect candidate for a 175 division, in all honesty. If they were going to make that and do away with the 170, so the 165, 175, 185, 195, I think he'd be a perfect candidate for the 175.
I feel like he's got the Ben Rothwell effect, where you look at him and even MMA matchmakers and odds makers are like, yeah, he's probably not going to win this. This is the first time in, I think, any of his fights that he's ever been the favorite. And, I mean, he was a 4-1 favorite, which is, like you said, pretty high. But he's been overlooked ever since Uriah Hall. I mean, and everyone expected Uriah Hall to starch him, and since then, no one has expected him to have the career that he has.
Well, to be fair, a lot of his wins weren't convincing, and neither are a lot of his losses. I think he won one by split decision, and then he lost two by split decision. So, I mean...
But, I mean, he's beat Johnny Hendricks. He's beat...
He's just barely put together, like, a string of, like, really, really dominant performances.
I mean, he beat Tim Kennedy. He beat Johnny Hendricks. He lost to Neil Magny. He beat Nate Marquardt.
It was a split decision for Neil Magny, right?
It might have been. I'm not sure. It doesn't say here. He lost to Woodley. He beat Ellenberger.
He lost to Story. Woodley. Split decision, too.
That was a big one, too, him coming in and beating Story. He got performance of the night against Ellenberger. So, really, I mean... I think he goes back and he could beat Magny.
Neil Magny, split decision.
Yeah.
He beat Nate Marquardt, corner stoppage. Tyrone Woodley, split decision. The Rick Story one again.
Woodley was a split?
Uh-huh. Every time he's lost, it's been a split decision. And then his big one against Rick Story was also split decision. His win against Uriah Hall, split decision. Ugh. So that's why I don't necessarily disagree with, like, the odds makers kind of being at odds, like, thinking, I don't... It's hard to believe in him when he's got four split decisions. Like, nothing's convincing either way, but...
He seems like one of those guys that as soon as he's the favorite, like, after this fight, as soon as he's the favorite, he's going to have an issue. And he might be able to beat Rockhold, but I don't think he beats Souza, and I don't think he beats Yoel Romero. I would like to see him fight Yoel Romero, honestly, because they're both wrestlers, so they would have to strike. And I think Romero's scary.
Yeah, I would like to see that fight. I was gonna say Rashad Evans, but that's not a good matchup for Rashad right now.
No.
That's just if he's going on a Legends ass whipping tour, like he said. Who do you say wants next? He wanted Anderson Silva.
It makes sense, and it doesn't. Like, give him someone in that division.
Makes sense for him. It makes no sense for Anderson.
Yeah.
Zero. Like that. Why? Why would he do that?
He'd have to wrestle Anderson. Anderson would be able to outstrike him.
I don't think so anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think he would have to. Anderson's still got a good sprawl. It's not... I mean,
Yeah. No. I think Anderson could beat him is what I'm saying.
How's he different from Weidman?
How's Anderson different from Weidman? Striking. Oh, he's not. I think Weidman has a little bit better striking, but other than that, they're pretty similar.
Than Gastelum?
Mm-hmm.
I think Gastelum's boxing is better than Weidman's.
I haven't seen Weidman fight in such a long time. Yeah.
No, I don't know.
That fight does make sense. Who's Weidman's fighting Gegard Mousasi next? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that setup?
Next card.
Oh, is that the next card?
That's 210.
Oh, yeah, no, but...
they're the co-main.
UFC London's next on the
18th. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's the co-main event, yeah.
I'm not really sold on that card yet. Like, 211 has a million people on it, and it looks great. 210's got, eh. But that's all right. Hua versus Vyante, I feel like we've gotten into this quite a bit. It did look like a heavyweight fight.
Really quick on that last thing, because this was your wet dream. Michael Bisping was talking about the Rio card, doing the rewind and putting Vitor versus Anderson and having the retirement match. They both retire.
That is my wet dream.
Oh, I think, didn't Vitor call for it too? Or no, he
yeah, he said there. He said he's got one more fight on his contract, and he would like it to be in Rio.
That is just a Justin's wet dream right there.
Mm-hmm. They don't even have to fly home. They'll probably have to fly home. But Vitor Belfort could retire and just drive home. Mm-hmm. He'd be fine. He's done mentally, though. I highly doubt they give him. They might give him Anderson Silva, maybe, but I highly doubt they give him someone top 10.
They've got to give him somebody.
It's got to be Brock Lesnar-esque, right? He can't fight a nobody, but he's got to fight somebody that's good enough that he can still win.
Do the Weidman fight if he loses to Gegard. If he wins, really, yeah.
Belfort Weidman?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that makes sense if he loses to Gegard.
Weidman
and then Gegard Mousasi wants to fight Anderson. So after that fight at 210, just throw Gegard versus Anderson.
Losers versus each other, winners versus each other.
And Vitor Belfort versus freaking Chris Weidman.
I think is what they do is if GSP beats Bisping, then it's gonna be GSP versus Anderson.
Oh, which doesn't make sense. I mean, which would have been awesome a decade ago. Like
it would have, even 5 years ago. But the thing is, I mean, WME, everybody's talking about how little the belts mean anymore because everybody's just jumping each other and stuff. I see that as a natural progression of what they want to do with these super fights, like way late in the game.
It's actually interesting that you get into that to digress, but stay on MMA topic. I was on Twitter today, my own personal Twitter, and one of the guys on KSL, or no, what's the BYU station? It's ESPN 700 is the Utes. 1200 like AM, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the BYU and Les Olson or some, I don't know, one of the dudes on that freaking radio station. I should have probably thought this out better before. I was like, you know, this guy and he talks about stuff and he tweets sometimes. Anyway, he basically said that MMA is getting to a point where it's not worth following anymore. And then JD Jorgensen, not the dude that used to fight, but one of the old BYU football players, was mm-hmm. like, haven't watched it in a while. And I read the comments to his tweet, and basically everyone was like, yeah, I stopped watching it a year ago. Yeah, I stopped watching it, 2 years ago. Yeah, I only watch when there's someone I recognize, you know, that's there. And they were saying one of the major themes throughout was there's too many people now, and there's too many cards to follow. So it makes it really, really difficult. And it was just interesting to me. And I don't think any of them really were in, like, MMA fans. I think they were GSP fans, Tito Ortiz fans, Anderson Silva fans. Like, when those dudes fought twice a year, and when they fought, it was a big deal. There was no FS1 cards or whatever. There were just 4 or 5 UFC cards a year, and there was always 1 to 2 title fights.
But then those guys are still going to watch those cards that those guys fight on. They just won't watch the other ones. I still feel like the UFC gets out of them what they want out of them.
Yeah.
They're still going to catch the GSPs when he comes back. They're not going to watch the rest of it, but they have the off chance. Maybe they'll catch one of the earlier fights that somebody does something that they like on it, like an Edson Barboza. And then they're pot committed to him at that point because they really like something like that. I see why they're doing it, but I don't like where it's going because the interim belt thing, that's got to just stop 100%. Yeah. Like I don't like seeing just belts on everybody's shoulders. Like it devalues what everybody else is, like what the actual champions have. It's stupid.
But how do you think the UFC gets back to people, the average fan, caring more about Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor?
What's that?
How does the UFC get back to the average fan caring about watching other people other than just Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor? Does that make sense? Because, I mean, we had GSP, we had Anderson Silva, we had Tito Ortiz. I mean, Forrest Griffin was a super likable dude, Rampage. It just seems like those names, and maybe it's like when we talk about the NBA and we're like, oh yeah, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and they played the Jazz against Karl Malone and Charles, and they played, you know, against Charles Barkley and Clyde the Glide Drexler and Gary, you know, Gary Payton. Like, I couldn't care less about NBA nowadays, but I can still name all of those people from back when I was a kid. Like, why? I don't understand it, because to me, MMA is more exciting now than ever. But I understand as well, like, there's no big names that people can latch on to, like Anderson Silva, GSP, you know, Forrest Griffin anymore.
There's bigger names now.
John Jones, but he doesn't Ronda ever fight. Rousey, but McGregor. Ronda Rousey's also gone.
She's still there.
Conor McGregor is going to go fight Floyd Mayweather. Like, I understand, but there's only I feel like there's only three, where before there used to be more.
No, well, you were in a more condensed group where everybody had their guy that they followed. And now everybody's into one guy that they follow or one girl. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, but it's a wider group of people. There's mass appeal. Like, I talked to Paul and I was like, these guys are getting, like, this is the fight of the guys. They're going to fight Conor McGregor. And he's like, is there a belt on the line? No, I don't care.
The weird part is, too, is they complain about too many weight classes.
Yeah, I would cut off the bottom ones.
But it's weird to me. Well, but you and I talk about, like, okay, cool, restructure it and add one or two in between to 175, 185, 195.
Yeah, I'd cut off the bottom ones and add to the higher weight classes.
But then you get Borg. Ronnie Yaya Joe Soto is a great fight.
For us.
Super bloody.
Is it moving the needle? You pick up a card because of that?
No.
No.
I mean, DJ has, like, the lowest pay-per-view numbers ever. And he's about to go on a 10-fight win streak, which is the highest in history for the...
Well, they don't even really put him on pay-per-views anymore, right? Like, when was the last time he was on a pay-per-view?
He usually headlines a Fox card or something like that, or co-mains a Fox card. It was weird to me because I didn't understand the mentality because I'm so freaking involved that I was trying to take a step back and understand it, like... What would it take me to stop watching MMA?
That's not fine. That's not true. He fought the Tim Elliott, and then he's been on 197, 191, 186, 178, 174. So yeah. I'm wrong on that.
Let me ask you this, right? And this is getting way off the concept of the card, but what would it take you to stop watching MMA?
I was thinking just about sports in general. Just yesterday in the line at Cafe Rio, I was like, kind of just want to be done with it. If it wasn't for the podcast, I could definitely see myself taking, like, a break from it. I would probably actually still train MMA or play soccer. But, like, we just get inundated with too much sports. And I feel like that's the problem with the UFC right now. And I feel like the owner group, like, they don't – it's hard to say because they've had so little time, but I don't feel like they know their fan base, like the Fertittas and Dana. Because Dana and the Fertittas, they were what we are. They were just rich us. They got to buy this thing, and they loved it. But it was also exhausting, and then they got to make $4 billion. But there are too many cards.
So you think you cut it back to one a month again?
They've been cutting it back, though. They had less cards last year than the year before, and then they're going to have less cards this year as well.
Which makes sense.
So they are going to do that. I don't think you got to just do away with the 145 women's division.
Yep.
Honestly, I think you do away with the 115 as well and just have 135. Okay, you lose out on Joanna. Make a smaller promotion and put her on Fight Pass.
Invicta.
And then do away with the lower men's divisions too. 135 is tough to get rid of. I don't know that you could do that. And it's not just – I'm not saying that's because those are fighters that I like and enjoy.
So do you just start another WEC, which is a, like, direct competition with Bellator? It's a Cedar League into your own, but it also is direct competition with Bellator?
No, you wouldn't do a Cedar into your own because you would cut those divisions. You would essentially just
So if you remember WEC, let me explain, sorry. If you remember WEC, they had the 145 division and 155 division, and I think that they had up to 170 because Chael Sonnen was in it. Yeah, they did. Because Chael Sonnen was in the WEC. Carlos Condit was in the WEC.
No.
Yes. Carlos Condit was the champion. Brian Stann was in the WEC, and he came over to the UFC. So they, Donald Cerrone was originally in the WEC.
Right. Well, that's 155.
Yeah.
So they were the lower weight classes.
No, but Carlos Condit was the champ. Chael Sonnen fought Paulo Filho in the WEC. I remember because I watched it when I worked at the hospital. I am 100% correct on this. So I feel
you... It, In its final incarnation, it was made up of three weight classes. So when it fused into the UFC, it had 135, 145, and 155. Because so they must have had, they must have done what we're talking about now and had higher weight classes, and then they cut it back just to have the,
I think you produce something like that again, and you put it on Fight Pass or prelims for FS1 or however you want to do it, right? You have 125, 135. I think 145 is big enough to stay in the UFC. So you do 125, 135. You have 115 women's and whatever else in Invicta on undercards and WEC events or whatever it is. And then you have the UFC, and anyone that does really well, I think you could still do a 145, and I think you could even still get away with a 155. You pull the best from Bellator, from LFA, from all of those. They fight in this promotion, and basically anyone that's good enough at the higher weights goes into the UFC.
No, I don't like that. I'm just saying cut them off and don't have them as a division. If you do have them, make their own completely separate promotion.
But you have to, you make them their own separate promotion. That's what I'm saying.
But why would they bleed? How would they bleed into the UFC at that point?
They wouldn't. 125 and 135 wouldn't. You'd have 145 and 155.
And then
you would compete directly with Bellator at Bellator times. And then you would actually have, and then you would have the women's 155 and potentially even the women's 135 in there rather than in the main UFC. And they could be on undercards, or they could have their own TV FS1 specials or whatever. But that would be it. And then you would pull from Bellator. And then when Bellator was going to have their main cards, you just put that promotion directly against Bellator.
I just think that's setting it up for failure, because Bellator still is going to have – it's going to be
– But WEC did really well.
No, it didn't. It got bought by the UFC.
Yeah, but I mean it was still – it had Carlos Condit and Alex – and had Pettis and Henderson and Cerrone. And it had Uriah Faber, and it had – Brian Bowles and all of those dudes, Dominic Cruz, Jose Aldo, had all of those dudes.
Because the UFC didn't have lower divisions. They only had
They didn't have 145.
Or 135.
But Carlos Condit was 170.
When they were merged with the UFC, he was not there.
Because they'd already pulled him over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good point.
No, it's nothing to do with Bellator. You just do away with them and start another promotion, in my opinion. Kind of like they're doing with the BJJ. I mean, and if it shows signs of people actually being into it, then yeah, I guess maybe you can start it again. But there's just too much. Like, as good of a champion as DJ is, he's a likable guy. Nobody gives a rip about DJ outside of us. Obviously, we know him and love him as like
a Twitch streamer.
Is a Twitch streamer he is the ultimate mixed martial artist. He's like what GSP was. He always is evolving. He's got new techniques, and he has perfect technique. And he's a very likable guy, but nobody likes him.
Yeah. So Dana White was talking about how they wanted to do cards every single week, almost like a football sporting event, right? But and football went all day. There was fights all day, but it's too much. You know, I think that's kind of where it got to. The thing about football is you watch your team, and you only watch like 4 hours. So like college football, I'll watch during the day when I'm home. But if the Utes are playing at 6 o'clock on Saturday, I'm going to make sure to watch at 6 o'clock on Saturday for the hour and a half that they play, 2 hours that they play, and then I'm done.
That's why I think that they're putting on the lower promotions on Fight Pass so that it does get regional. You want to have that regionalism. Kind of like you have in Europe with soccer teams, where they are so integrated into the community, like literally houses are built into stadiums in some areas. You kind of want that. You want to have gyms against gyms, and they want to build up those promotions. You want your guy, so when they do kind of feed into the UFC, you have this whole region backing a guy. I do think that that's what they ideally want to do. That's just my feeling with them putting those smaller promotions on. And I think it's a smart idea.
And like Bellator, they pull people from that area to get on the undercard, to get more tickets sold.
Well, they do that in the UFC too.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, it is something that we see, but I can't.
I'm talking about if they want to do it all day, though, you would show a local promotion on Fight Pass, or you just show it on their local whatever station. You show it there, and then they kind of get to know those fighters, and then eventually when they bleed into the UFC, that's when people get excited about it, blah, 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 blah. I just don't think that MMA is the right sport for it. I like that they're trying it. I just don't think it's going to work.
If they cut the UFC down. Here's the weird part, right? I really like watching it, and I really like watching it when in the I like watching the Fight Pass fights because my wife's at work. I watch the Fight Pass fights, and then usually by the time it gets to the FS1, I'm kind of done watching fights for a little bit, but then I really want to watch the main card, but then I have to watch from our time 8 to 11. So that means basically the one month that there are four fight cards in a row, from 4 to 11 every Saturday I was watching fights, more or less.
Yeah.
And it was too much. I got burnt out. It made me not want to watch anymore because there was just I love it, actually. I would watch as much as I could, but it's like I have to choose between having a social life on a Saturday or seeing my family or hanging out with my wife and watching fights.
Well, and it's like, I mean, I completely forgot about the Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions last week, but like at the end of the day, if it's a card versus me going to see a friend, my best friend since the sixth grade, I'm going to pick my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if Tony and Khabib would have been on that card, which is the reason why I was watching that card, I'm still going to pick my friends, like, and going out and doing something with them. Because I can watch another UFC card next week. Oh, wait, I did, and it was a way awesome card. Like,
or even if they pushed, even if it was, like, the WWE, and they pushed to their freaking Fight Pass the next day or within 48 hours after every pay-per-view card, it would make more sense to me. There's still going to be people to watch those live, but at the same time, if it's an FS, and I don't know what the contract is with FS1 or Fox, it doesn't sound like they can even go on Fight Pass. Maybe FS1, but I haven't seen any Fox cards on Fight Pass, so they must own the rights to it. But even if they pushed them out faster, so I didn't have to wait a month to watch the card from before, I would be more inclined to watch a fight or two on my free time, like on Spike, right, where it was they would have the ultimate knockouts, and it was like, oh, I just happened to be here, and this is on, and there's nothing other than this, so I'm going to watch the ultimate knockouts on Spike for 2 hours, and then I'm going to go do something else. I think.
But who's going to narrate those now? We lost Goldie.
No one will ever take his place. I think that there's other ways that they could go about it rather than having fights from 4 to 11 every single Saturday. Even if it was like, cool, we're going to have fights in the middle of the afternoon for 4 hours or for 3 hours, and then they're going to be done, but we're going to do it every week, that makes sense. But you can't have these 8-hour cards every Saturday and expect people to really be involved or spend a lot of money on it. So
We kind of got off on the card. Do we want to go back and talk about Hua and kind of still go down the card, or we kind of pass that?
No, there's a couple more fights I want to talk about. The one thing that I didn't like about the Hua fight is it felt like Vyante didn't change his style. It felt like he was just going to fight that fight no matter what and hope that he caught Hua first. But Hua's got a tough chin. I mean, he started to go down lately, but it was weird to me that he would stand in front of him like that. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't, like, there's no head movement. He was just odd.
I thought he looked very good, though. Like, he looked slower, but he was picking shots very well.
Hua? Yeah, he looked good. He looked like someone that had been practicing the fundamentals of MMA their entire life. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how old you get, those things are just muscle memory by that time.
Mm-hmm.
That he just, I mean, just absolutely amazing. Edson Barbosa at Darush with the flying knee. We can't miss this, man.
This Edson's one of those fighters I will not miss. Yep. He's one of my favorite fighters in my favorite division. He looked so uncomfortable for that whole fight.
Yeah, he was getting pressured.
He needed one opportunity, and it was lights out. Highlight reel again.
It's just timing, man. It's the year of the knee. They actually, Capusa, or whatever his name is on Twitter, pointed this out. Alistair Overeem with his knees. Yoel Romero with his knee to Chris Weidman. This knee, there's been a lot of flying knees that have just ended people's nights.
It was very good, though. Like, just the... I thought Dariush came out with a good game plan, and he just got caught. Oh, I was going to say, because that was...
timing, man.
I told you this over text. Like, I was very nervous that he was going to get his knee blown out right there with how he folded, and then also the ref trying to blow out Edson's knee. Also, I thought it was interesting that when Shogun finished his fight, it was almost reminiscent of when he tapped to Jones. like when he was just in the corner there, like right when he when Jones got the belt from him. That's kind of what Vellante did too. He kind of was just like, "No, I'm done." Like let it just call the fight.
Sat down in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean that was impressive, man. The fact that he kept going to the body every time he would throw a combo to the freaking head, and Vellante had it covered. Hua, he'd go right to the body, and he hit him good a couple times in the body. It was yeah, man. This whole card. Barbosa was getting pressured. I feel bad for Darush, though, and I actually tweeted this out during the fight, that Darush was also beating Michael Chiesa. I mean, dominating him. And then Michael Chiesa ended up taking his back and submitting him.
Did you know how many people on this card were from Kings MMA? So, Hua, Gastelum, Darush. Who else was it? Like, all of those guys are from Kings MMA. I didn't know a lot about Kings MMA, but they're getting a pretty good roster.
I know Barbosa is from Frank Edgar's gym.
Is he?
Yeah.
I was going to ask also, just talking about the Barbosa fight, what do you think's next for him?
Sorry, Barbosa? Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was reading this. Apparently, the Becch-Cohea-Renau fight has yet to end.
It's an intermission.
There's still zero. They haven't picked a winner yet, apparently. They're still trying to decide. Edson Barbosa, man, top five. I mean, he has to keep moving up. A lot of people were saying have him fight Tony Ferguson again, but Tony Ferguson manhandled him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's the correct choice.
So Khabib.
Yeah, I mean, but then Khabib's just gonna take him down. I think you give him someone flashier, but Michael Johnson, I think, would be good. I think he may have already beat him. Yeah, he lost to Michael Johnson in 2015.
So it's hard not to replay, because he's been in the division so long. It's hard not to give him somebody that he's already fought.
I think
Kevin Lee called out Khabib, too, because both their fans are asking for it, apparently.
Yeah, Kevin Lee. I tweeted out that he's one of the most unlikable personalities in MMA, man, and I got so much freaking support. Usually there's at least one person that's like, no, man, he's really cool. But
I'll be that guy. Why is he unlikable?
He's Michael Johnson, and not Michael Johnson. He is Tyron Woodley times 10. Mm-hmm. So he talks and talks and talks and calls people out and said that Conor McGregor's not that great. He says, you know, basically that he's being held back because people don't like him because he's black. Like, he's hit all of the, like, controversial, like, subjects right in a row, and for a long period of time, that he can beat everybody even though he's losing, and that no one's giving him any opportunities because he's black, and that's fine. And I, if you truly feel that way, it's fine to say it, but you can't continue to push and push and push one of those, whether that you deserve more respect than you get and you continue to lose, or that everything's happening because of your race when you continue to lose. Like, you have to win fights. Tyron Woodley was a champion, so he has some rights to say, hey, man, I feel like I'm not getting, you know, the proper push or the proper hype behind me because I'm black. That's fine. He can say that all he wants because he's the champion and he feels that way and he's winning. And if a champion feels that way, there's probably some truth behind it. Now, if you're some unranked – a little bit. Now, if you're some unranked dude that keeps losing, you can't do those things and have people like you. Everyone thought he was going to call out Conor McGregor in his post fight. And the fact that he didn't, everyone was like, oh, he actually kept it classy. Like, good for him.
Put him against Edson.
Yeah. I mean,
if he wants, I mean, he's not getting,
he's also a wrestler. He's going to try and take him down.
He's
too.
Not getting Khabib.
No,
that's not happening. So, no.
I mean, well, Cub Swanson's fighting Artem Lobov, so you never know what could happen. And they're headlining.
He's not fighting Khabib. They're not going to give Khabib $250,000 that they might not make back in that fight just for fighting Kevin Lee. You know, like, if he's going to fight for $250,000, he's going to get a top billed name that they can make their money on. It's not Kevin Lee.
Give him Darush. Darush just lost to Barbosa.
Give him Barbosa. He just beat Darush.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ray Borg is about one fight away from a title shot.
It was beautiful. It's a very good fight.
He looked really good. Formiga, I've never been super impressed with. This is one of those fights I wish I would have put money on.
He has the coolest name in MMA, though.
Ray Cyborg?
No. Well, that's also cool. Jussier Formiga.
Jussier?
Dope. Becch-Cohea. This one I pretty much felt like...
I didn't watch it.
It was good. It wasn't anything stellar. It ended exactly how it should have. It should have been a tie.
It was a tie, right?
Mm. Majority, awesome. Majority draw.
Yeah.
So one judge scored it for, I think, Renau. But both the other ones, they gave the first two rounds to Betch, and then the last one, it was a 10-8.
If you look at these stats, other than those two takedowns, Renau crushed her. 153 total strikes, 64% landed.
Most of that was in the third.
Significant strikes, 75.
Most of that was in the third. Because,
and then there's two of four takedowns for Betch.
Yeah, most...
Because she took her down and just pummeled her for the last round, right?
I think she knocked her out a little bit and then took her down. Like, the fight probably could have got stopped, in all honesty. But, no, that's pretty much it. That's, if there's ever an argument for a tie, it is that. Because she destroyed her one round and then didn't do a lot in the other two. And neither did Betch, in all honesty, but Betch did more. I just don't like Betch. Talking to Danny.
Nobody does.
Yeah, Brazilians don't either.
she's a weird ass.
He literally texted me, bitch, Kohea. He hates her.
That's funny. I mean, the undercard was all really good. If you have a chance, go back and watch them. The very first fight, freaking Paulo Borrachino, however his name is pronounced, just ran through Gareth McClellan. I mean, McClellan hasn't looked great as of late, but I mean, he just trounced him, man. Jeremy Kennedy looked really good against Ronnie Jason. He's still undefeated. Ronnie Jason is no slouch. I mean, he won the Ultimate Fighter Brazil. Josh Berkman, I thought, had retired. He just said it's his last fight in the UFC, right? So it sounds like his contract's up. He fought it out. He lost, like, the last three in a row.
Suck it, Justin.
He's going to have to go to Bellator, WSOF, or whatever else.
Everybody, Justin's starting a new venture. If you want help with your 401ks, mm-hmm. he will be helping you.
MMA retirement plans. You'll
no,
be able
any
to,
retirement plan. He
you'll
loves
be able
retirement.
To retire at 28. Kevin Lee was getting just thrashed by Trinaldo and then ended up submitting him. So good for him, but God. And then Oliveira beat Tim Means, and Tim Means was supposed to come back after his freaking ping or whatever and do really well. And
the ping? What ping? I know they had the illegal knees the last fight.
No. Tim Means pissed hot for a supplement.
When? Because they just barely had their last fight not too long ago that got stopped because Oliveira couldn't continue on because he kneed him when he was a downed opponent.
That's what it was.
And
2016.
So then they had to wait, and then they brought this one back. And
maybe it wasn't Tim Means. I swear it was. Yeah, no, it was Tim Means, because Tim Means was going to fight. He was going to fight Donald Cerrone, and then he pinged hot. And he couldn't do it. And he was like, I didn't do anything. And so they tested him. And I think it was the same Yoel Romero thing. So I think he had to sit out for 6 months.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good.
June 10th, 2016.
I'm not crazy.
Tim Means accepts doping sanction.
And then he only had to sit out for like 6 months because something had gone wrong. Yeah, man. Lots of conversation this week about a lot of different things. MMA, it's going to be interesting. But I believe that they should cut it down. I believe that they should go to 1 to 2 major cards a month and leave it at that rather than having a card a week. It gets daunting.
I'm fine if they're free cards every week, because I can record them and watch what I want to watch.
I guess that's true.
Pay-per-views once a month.
I don't record anything, and I guess that's what causes the issue.
Pay-per-view once a month.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. If I could record them, I would. I'm actually looking into it so I can record them from my TV and watch them whenever I want, because I could watch them, you know. But I'm one of those people that as soon as I know the result, unless I have a reason to watch it, I don't care. So, like, when we're talking fights here, if I were to, like, start betting on fights and stuff, I would want them recorded. But other than that, as soon as I know what happened, I'm not as interested in it. So I have to watch it live, or I will never go back and watch it, especially a decision.
If you had it available, you would.
Not decisions. Anything.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. You wouldn't watch decisions. You would watch the highlights.
The highlights.
You might go get like a piece of the decision or something like that. You're not going to watch all 15 minutes of it. But
yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, I have no problem with them doing free cards on Fight Pass or FS1 every week if that's what they want to do. It's a good way to, I think, build up other people. But pay-per-views once a month. Rarely in off seasons of other sports, twice a month maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's too much too often.
I agree. So let's get into, for the last 10 minutes or so, UFC London. It's interesting because this is one of those cards that I'm excited for. Not excited for. This is one of those cards I can look through and I actually recognize at least 50% of all of the people on this card. Actually more than that. Probably 75. I mean, we'll get all the way down. Leon Edwards. Freaking Ian Entwistle, the dude that is the one trick pony. Scott Ascombe. I don't know the chicks. Tom Breeze and Bang Bosa. Mark Diaxinci, however his name is pronounced. Tim Johnson, Daniel, whatever his last name is. I don't know Darren Stewart and Francis Marbaro, so I might. Joe Duffy, Reza Madadai. Makwan Amerikani, the Israeli dude. Brad Pickett and freaking Henry Briones, but he's not fighting Briones, he's fighting Chito Vera. Gunnar Nelson, Alan Joban, which I'm excited for, but I don't think Joban should be in that position. I think Gunnar's going to run right through him. And then Jimmy Whittle and Corey Anderson.
They want Gunnar to run through him there, right?
Well, Joban's a likable guy.
No, he is, but they...
And he just beat Mike Perry.
Yeah, I mean, it's Gunnar's hometown. It's like what they do with Brazil. They typically want the Brazilians.
Gunnar's
to
win. From Iceland.
Right, but where does he fight?
Yeah, out in SGB.
In Ireland, which is right next to London.
Straight blast.
Yeah.
I like Jimmy Manuel. I think he's one or two fights away from a title shot. He just knocked out OSP. He looked really, really good. I think his only fight was to somebody, Anthony Johnson and Alexander Gustafsson. So he wins this, give him Ryan Bader, right? Ryan Bader's got one fight left on his contract. Whoever wins it, give him a title fight.
But Bader was done.
No, I think he's got one more because he's starting to shop around because he's got one more fight.
Fair.
I could be wrong. He could have just finished and he could be shopping around now. Gunnar Nelson, man, is one of my favorite fighters because he just doesn't seem like he cares ever. I mean, and he did lose to Rick Story, but that was back in Rick Story's heyday. So you never know, man. This is one of those fights that if I could record it and go back and watch the highlights, I would. But I look at it and I know enough people on this card that it's like, yeah, I want to see the Tom Breeze freaking Owale Bangbosa fight. Bangbosa is one of those dudes that I don't know hasn't been pinged by USADA yet, but dude's a monster.
Holy War Angel. It's an awesome name.
Whose is that? Bangbosa?
Bangbosa. Bangbosa or...
Yeah. Leon Edwards. Leon Edwards lost to Mike Perry as well, but he looked really good. That was a really fun... Oh, no. I'm wrong. Wrong person. He just beat Albert Tumanov. Anyway.
Can we talk about the actual Edwards getting into a fight with Bisping?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that. That's way more important. That's way more important. You're gonna watch. If you're going to watch the London card, you're going to watch it. If you're not going to, you're not going to. It's not... There's nothing that's necessarily going to sell you on it. There's not a big name that's going to sell you on it. It's definitely going to be worth watching. Some of these cards are sleeper cards where they don't necessarily seem like they're going to be a huge deal, and then they're really fun to watch. I'll most likely be watching it because I watch almost every card. The 18th? Nope. I'll be at the Real Salt Lake game.
You going to Real?
Yep.
Woo!
Going to the Real Salt Lake game. I guess I'll have free Wi-Fi there that I'll be able to watch these on if I really want to.
That is true. Thank you for that, waste management owner.
Deloitte Hansen.
Deloitte, that's what it was. I think of his name.
Now if he could just get us a new coach so we could actually play well.
And new players.
Yeah.
And not lose our way awesome wingers. That would be groovy.
Yeah.
So you didn't watch the whole thing. You just saw portions of it, right?
Which
for
one?
The Bisping Edwards thing.
I only saw what people were posting back on Twitter because they were so funny.
So it all started because Yves Edwards was asked a question. He was talking about 185. And he was going up the list on who Gastelum should start fighting and everything. And Bisping was like, "Whoa, you're forgetting the champion." And he's like, "Well, I'm talking about the guys that he would have to fight to get to you." Like, and then from there, it was just an awkward energy in the room. And then, Yves Edwards started, calling Bisping out. And then he started calling him a tough guy. And he's like, "Oh, you think you're a tough guy now, do you, Yves?" And he's like, "I've always been a tough guy, Michael. Wait till these cameras are turned off." It's like, you're not going to do anything, Yves Edwards.
Of course not.
And then...
Yves Edwards was like a 155-er.
Yes.
Yeah, he's tiny.
And not a stellar.
And not even very well. Yeah, and not even very good.
I mean, he was a good fighter.
But I can guarantee you he's not scared of Michael Bisping. I don't think fighters are scared of anything.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But he's not going to beat him. He's not going to beat... The retired 155-er is not going to beat the 185 champion.
Give him some freaking gloves and let him go wrestle around a little bit.
Why would they need gloves to wrestle?
Well, with strikes, not just palm strikes.
What's that? So wait, are they wrestling or are they fighting?
They can't hit in the face.
So they don't even need gloves.
Yeah, okay, they can bare knuckle box. Well, no, because Michael Bisping wants to protect his hands. He doesn't want to break them.
If he breaks them on Eves Edwards, he deserves it. And then there was like another part where I think like Eves Edwards made a comment about like moving backwards, and like Bisping was like, I don't understand the insult. It was the weirdest, most awkward. I don't know. It was stupid.
The only one I saw is when they asked Eve Edwards who they thought was going to be win between Bisping and GSP, and Eve Edwards looked right at Bisping and was like, GSP.
That's weird that he looked right at him because he didn't for the whole thing.
Oh, that's funny because he was like, moving on.
And the only reason he said that is because of everything else that had already happened of them two fighting and like arguing and stuff.
So they'll never announce together again.
Yeah, they might.
I doubt it.
It makes for good TV.
It's like freaking Tyron Woodley getting butthurt about Dan Hardy saying he had a bad performance. He's like, I thought we were friends. And it's like, I can make UFC commentary. We can all sit in the same room, and I can make a real choice on who I think is going to win. And I think that happens sometimes with like Brian Stann and Dominic Cruz and those guys. When they choose somebody, they choose who's in the room rather than who they think is actually going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, Eves Edwards, he's from Canada, right? So he's picking his home guy.
Yeah.
He's probably a GSP fan. And then on top of that, him and Bisping had been arguing. I don't know that he really.
He might have actually
that,
trained at TriStar. Did he? I don't know. But I mean, if he's a Canadian guy, then he's definitely gone to freaking TriStar before. That's one of the dynamics that need to change too. Like, you can't have three fighters on there. You can't have somebody that's a champion or someone that's still fighting.
He's not out of
Canada.
Canada. I didn't think Bahamas. So.
I didn't
and then
think
moved
he
to
was.
Texas. Who is Eve? Who's the other Eves? That's
Eve Levine.
No,
he's a ref.
I understand that, not him. MMA.
Yeah. We'll
find this out. Anyways, yeah.
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't think you know either.
I don't. That's why I'm looking it up. Yeah, that whole thing was just weird. Like, it did get kind of annoying after a while. I was like, shit. I think Jeff Boyne.
Yeah, that's the one.
He's out of Montreal, but I don't really even remember his name.
I think there was a Lozano, something like that as well, way back in the day. I just don't think you should have active fighters doing announcing or people with upcoming fights, because the fact is they are going to get butthurt when someone picks against them.
I'm totally fine with you doing that, but I'm actually okay with them getting butthurt too. Just if I was talking to them one-on-one, I'd be like, don't. Like, he literally wasn't even talking crap on Michael Bisping. He was talking about a guy that was on his way up and would have to go through a number of people to get to Bisping. And especially if they keep letting people just leapfrog, he may never get to Bisping. It's like Dan Henderson, GSP.
Yeah.
Then maybe we get the Anderson Silva fight again. And then I don't know. It was silly. And Bisping's like too sensitive and ready to like defend himself. And he might had to have gotten that way again, kind of like comedians where they like, because he's kind of been in the Gastelum position for the majority of his career.
Yeah.
So he was never the favorite.
And everyone's already counting him out, just like they did with Rockhold, except for me. I thought he was going to beat Rockhold.
Yeah, you make sure to let everybody know every time you get a second.
I do.
You luckily guessed right.
But that's honestly, that's why casual fans are getting out of this, right? Because, I mean, casual fans, I guess, would want to watch Bisping GSP, but they know that it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Anderson GSP, not for a belt, but just those two fighting, would bring back all of those casual fans from the 2000s.
See, and I think this, of all the gimmicky fights that they're doing, I think this one means the most. Because I don't really believe in Bisping that much, like I just said. He's been kind of picked on his whole career. I don't think that GSP is necessarily ready to go. But if one of them really goes in and has a dominant performance, like, that's a good name beating another good name, and it puts them right into the mix. I think, I don't know.
So what happens if Bisping beats a GSP that looks like he's no longer as good as he was?
We get the division back on track.
Yeah, let's hope. For that very reason, I hope Bisping wins, just so GSP can drop back to 170 and we can move forward with all of the divisions.
Because if GSP wins, he's going to go fight Anderson.
Yeah, or he's going to drop down and fight Tyron, and then he's going to drop down and freaking fight and freaking 155 Conor McGregor.
No.
Why not?
Not well, because you just said McGregor's not going to be here. He's going to be fighting boxing.
Mayweather. Apparently Mayweather's out of retirement. Did you hear that?
Fox Sports
posted it.
I saw that he tweeted out, signed the paper.
Yep.
Whatever.
I said that was going to be the next fight. I said as soon as he wins that belt, he's going to fight Mayweather. He's going to make that money. He might have one more UFC fight, but he's done.
Now he's going to be back in the UFC.
If he beats Mayweather, he never has to fight again. And I think that's what he wants.
He doesn't, but he will.
We almost got through an entire podcast without bringing up McGregor. I don't know how, because Mayweather's out of retirement. That's huge. Absolutely huge. I guess, no, we did last time, too, because Tyron Woodley mentioned McGregor beating Mayweather. It's a big deal. I mean, it's not a big deal at all whether Mayweather and McGregor fight, but that's going to make so much money for both of them and everyone involved.
I almost just don't want to watch it just to spite it.
We won't be paying for it.
Still.
I think it's a bigger spite to watch it and not pay for it.
I think it's worse to be able to not pay for or not have to pay for it
and then watch it
still
anyway.
Not watch it. I think that's worse. Yeah. I didn't have to pay for it. You could have watched it. No.
I didn't watch Mayweather freaking Pacquiao because I knew it was going to be awful. That and I was in Costa Rica.
Well, but
I knew
it was going to be awful. But I don't think it's going to be
good. No. This fight's going to be 100% different. You're going to have an aggressive Conor McGregor, or not, because he counters, and Mayweather plays defense and possum the entire time. So it's going to be very interesting.
I just think McGregor is way too competitive to be done forever.
I think it's all about money. I think he's past the competitive. I think he did what he wanted to do competitively.
If it was past competitiveness, he wouldn't have fought Nate again.
No, yeah. But I think as soon as he got the two belt, he's a two belt champion, I think he got what he wanted out of MMA.
Four belts total that he never defended.
Yep. And then a big name, and then now he's going to go get a money fight. He's got his kid. He's got his life. He can step away. He can do movies. He can do pay-per-views at $5 a pop or whatever he wants to do, and he never has to fight again. Never has to take another blow to the head ever again. Now, if he starts to disappear into obscurity, he'll definitely be back. I think he likes the limelight, and I think he likes people to know who he is, just like Mayweather does.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he starts to go back into obscurity, he'll be back. But I mean, maybe he doesn't care. It's one of those things. You're right, though. It takes a competitive person with a lot of drive to get to where he's at, and it's hard to just step away and be done with that, because as soon as people start forgetting who you are, all you want is all of that back again. The roar of the crowd, people taking pictures with you on the street, all of the things that you hated to begin with, that you love in retrospect. So it'll be interesting, but I called this. That he was going to win that belt and he was going to go fight with Mayweather.
Good job.
And everyone said it wasn't going to happen. And I said,
and that's not what everybody said.
And you asked me several times, you really think he fights Mayweather? And you said, I don't think that fight ever happens. And I said, because there's so much money.
But that's not what everybody thought. I still don't think it's going
to
happen.
There's a couple podcasts I've listened to that said, no, it's going to happen. There's too much money involved for it not to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm fine with being wrong. You're the one that has to point out when you're right all the time.
I do have to point out.
I'm the one that's okay with
being
wrong.
I also have to point out when you're wrong, because you try and act like you were never wrong.
Oh, no, that's the whole podcast. We're going to change the name of it to say that I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong. I'm not the one that talks about all the times that I'm right, though.
I'm wrong all the time.
It's important
to me. I need the praise, and I need the accreditations of being
tweet
right.
Tweet at him. He'd love to hear it.
Yeah, tell me
good job.
Tell me how correct I am, everybody. I need it. It drives me to be better.
You did your best. You did good. Good job.
It drives
you were right.
Me. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I really feel like you're finally acknowledging me as a...
Validating you as a person. Analyst. Yeah. You did it.
And an Auropist.
The world's second.
The world's second Auropist. That's exactly right. Hubba-dub-dub-dub.
Don't make business cards. We learned that from Tobias Funke.
Funke. All right, guys. That will do for this week. Remember, everybody, woo! I'm correct about everything. Make sure to tell me how much you like me. I really need it.
And then remember to retire.
And remember, if you lose and you're above 35, just retire. Just go for it.
If you lose, retire.
Yeah.
There's no age restriction for him.
And then hit me up. I'll set you up with a sweet retirement plan. Bye.